Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Really good story, and you know this as a writer. You and I have both done these types of stories. It was a story in The Athletic where they talked to league executives anonymously. And so you know the deal. You talk to them anonymously, you really get the true feelings. You know, if you're asking about a team or a player,
most good stories are anonymous.
Right, right.
They just are.
And you know, early in your career, really up, I mean, even my career, initially when I started, it had to be something special to use an anonymous quote. You know, you really had to be breaking something.
Oh, yeah, not just anything.
Something.
Yeah, you need to be, right.
And now it's to the point where, you know,
like somebody can take a cheap shot at somebody and they'll cover them. You know what I mean? And that's not really what an anonymous source is supposed to be about.
It shouldn't be about that.
No.
So, anyway, they were talking about various things around the NFL. I want to hit you with what was said about Pat Mahomes by a league executive, of course, for another team. He said this about Mahomes and how he should approach free agency when that comes. Kansas City doesn't have obvious holes, but the other part of free agency that doesn't get talked about is you are budgeting for the quarterback. Whether it's next year or the year afterward, that is part of the process right now. Does Mahomes want to push it and have nobody to play with, or does he want to be the top guy for a couple months and leave some room to have people to play with? So it seems like it's saying the question for Mahomes is, does he want to break the bank and get absolutely as much as he can, or will he settle for, of course, being the top paid guy, but not getting every last dime? So you can, you know, keep a strong team around you. It's kind of, I think this is a little bit of an overstatement to say it's the Tom Brady model, because nobody's saying Mahomes won't be or shouldn't be the top paid guy. But I guess it's somewhat the Brady model in that he won't be, you know, getting as much as he could on the market. What do you think? Should he go for the, what I'll call the Brady model, but you understand what I'm saying. It's not exactly that. Just try to break the bank?
No way, no how should he follow any Brady model where Brady has to beg his way into $50 million his last 2 years because he felt like he never got paid what he was worth during his heyday and his prime. And if I'm Patrick Mahomes, pay me. Cash me out. I want to get every dime that's coming to me. And let's let the GM earn his money and figure out and put the other stuff together. That's not for me to do. The NFL can be very short-lived, and I want to get cashed out. And
yeah, because you only get $40 million a year, I mean, God forbid.
You can do whatever you want. When our contracts come around,
God forbid.
I'm going to ask them for everything and then say Chris can take less because he's good with
it. No, you ain't got nothing to say to me. Don't worry about my money.
I'm worried about your money. I want you to give.
Actually, we kind of do. That's another topic.
I want you to give Rob G and Alex a cut of your money that you don't need.
This is about football. And here's the difference, Rob, because you know my take. My stand is, yes, Patrick Mahomes, get your money. However, if you're going to lose key components, if you take $40 million a year and you're going to lose some key players that could help you win Super Bowls, or if you take $37 million a year and you keep those players, yeah, I'm fine with $37 million. Here's the difference. I'm not making generational changing money. I wouldn't tell this to an offensive lineman. I wouldn't say this to a running back. But quarterbacks, where it's $35 to $40 million a year, where the whole contract's going to be worth $200 million, you can't compare what I make to that. You can't even compare
it's
what
the principle.
Skip and Stephen A make. No, it's not the
principle.
Yes, it is. It's the practicality.
You should get paid.
I'm not going to get money that's going to set up my children, their children, and their children. So yeah, don't compare me to Tom Brady.
No,
Brady, even with pay cuts, made $250 million.
Still.
That changes his whole generation.
Yes, but why in the world then at the end did he want to get paid? Because it's still
respect,
about why.
Right? You keep
why if it doesn't matter? I'm asking you, why does it not matter? Why does it not matter? Why did Tom Brady, he
could have
stayed there. He could have stayed there for less because, Chris, according to you, who's counting his pocketbook and bank account, he made $250
million. He did.
What's the difference of another 50 and his last 2 years or 40 or 30?
Clearly,
he could have stayed there.
You see, you want to
keep acting like. It is about money.
You want to keep acting like he left just because of money.
It is about money.
That was a part of it.
No, it is a big part of it.
It was about, yes, it is a big part. Nobody's saying it's not a big part, but it's not the
whole
part.
It matters to him because otherwise,
why in the world would he go to Tampa Bay for $50 million?
Because there was no other place to go. There were no other offers. No,
he could have asked for more.
Nobody,
asked for $60
million. Nobody. There was no market for Tom Brady.
I bet you Tampa Bay would have gave him $60 million.
No, they wouldn't have. It's a stretch to give him $50
million
for a 43-year-old quarterback. The bottom line is,
it's going to lead you to the playoffs. It's about
getting your
still got it.
It's about getting your worth. You're the only guy who wants to, you and Tom Brady, who will take less. Most people just want what the market bears.
A lot of guys have
taken less.
When LeBron James went to Miami, he was willing to what? Take less.
Yes, but did he take less when he came back?
What did Dwayne Wade do?
Did he take less?
I didn't say he does it every time, but he did it. He was willing to do it
that time. He can't make any more. When he came to L.A., he could have taken less. When he came to L.A., he can't make any more money. He's got sneakers. He's got everything.
He
can't help his generational money for his kids. He's already maxed out.
Here's the difference. It didn't matter if LeBron took less for the sake of his team. Hold on, let me finish, because that's what it's about. I'm not just taking less to take less. I'm just saying if it's going to help me put my team in a position where we can win Super Bowls versus where we can't. That's what I'm saying.
Let me finish.
LeBron James taking the max did not stop the Lakers from getting Anthony Davis. It didn't stop them from being in position to get Kawhi Leonard. So why in the world would I take less?
Did Kobe Bryant help the Lakers at the end of his career? Yes or no?
What's that got to do with
I'm
anything?
Asking you, answer my
max?
Question,
did
yes or no.
Did he get the max, Rob Parker?
Did he hurt his team and his last contract with the Lakers? Yes or no?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do know.
No,
he
I don't.
Did. But Kobe wanted to get paid.
Regardless. They wouldn't have been any good.
Most people want to get paid. That's the bottom line, Chris. You could go ahead
with
your Polly-Andy
approach. Don't dare bring up my contract.
I'm just saying. I want
Seriously.
You to give the money to Alex and to
Rob
G.
Don't get in my pocketbooks, Rob Parker, because I ain't making $30 million a year. So seriously, don't get
Not
in
yet.
It.
Not yet.
This is about dudes making that type of money. Where it doesn't matter, where there's no difference between 37 and 40 million a year. That's what this is about. This ain't about us.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We both watched and saw the ESPN poll. They did a bracket, like a March Madness type bracket. Where their goal was to find out who the best college basketball player of all time was. So they did a March Madness style bracket and they let the fans vote. And the winners, I'm gonna give you the final four first of all. In one bracket, it was Larry Bird against Shaquille O'Neal.
What?
Yeah, and another bracket. It was Michael Jordan against Magic Johnson. Bird beats Shaq. Michael beats Magic. And then Michael beats Larry Bird for the title of greatest college basketball player of all time. Now, Rob, you know both you and I, we do agree on this. We don't agree on a lot. But we both agree that Michael Jordan is the GOAT, the greatest basketball player ever. However, Michael Jordan... He really isn't even in the conversation for best college basketball player of all time. And that is without question Luau Cinder, or, you know, later became Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And a couple of people tweeted out they were disgusted with the fan voting. Magic Johnson, who of course won 5 championships with Kareem with the Lakers, he tweeted out this: Kareem Abdul-Jabbar / Luau Cinder is decisively the undisputed GOAT of college basketball, exclamation point. During his 3 years at UCLA, he led the Bruins to an 88-2 record, won 3 national championships, was 3-time National College Player of the Year, and was 3-time NCAA Final Four Most Outstanding Player. Because of Lou's dominance, the NCAA changed the rules and banned dunking in college basketball. From that, he created his famous sky hook. Yeah, Magic's right. It isn't even close, Rob. And second is probably Bill Walton. And Michael, with all due respect, again, the GOAT, period. But no way he's the GOAT of college basketball. And this is what I want to throw out to you, Rob. It seems, this to me, just seems like another form of disrespect, underappreciation, whatever you want to call it, for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. A couple other things I just want to add before we get into why Kareem Abdul-Jabbar doesn't get his due. But I know a lot of people just assume because Michael Jordan is considered by many, Chris, the GOAT, he must have been the GOAT in college too. Like, that's just automatically how people think. And then the other reason that you should discount this whole poll by fans, you know, and who's the greatest college player, I think LeBron finished 5th in that poll, and he didn't even play in college. You know, they just automatically, the minions were like, if he went to college, he would be like in the top 5 at least.
Right, right. No question about
but
it.
But you know what I think the Kareem thing is? A couple things. Kareem was an aloof person, aloof player.
Right.
Kareem was involved, you know, when he changed his name to Muslim, right?
Right.
That's another part, Chris.
Early in his NBA career.
And that was early, and that was in the, what?
He won his first championship in Milwaukee as Luau Cinder.
Right.
And then in the 70s, it was in the early 70s, he changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And he didn't like Milwaukee, you know, like how conservative and different it was. You know what I mean? Like, that's why he wanted out of there.
You know,
he wanted out. Yeah.
We've seen players today. These aren't the first generation of players to force their way out of places.
So I think
Kareem forced his way out of Milwaukee.
I think that's part of it as well. And then back then, he was kind of known as like a, you know, pot-smoking, hippie kind of, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Out of the mainstream, mostly. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And I think it shouldn't matter when you play basketball and how talented he was and all the accolades. People, we talk about his college basketball career. He was a great high school basketball player in New York at Power Memorial High School. And then he went into the NBA and had an unbelievable career. He might be, when you add all 3 levels together, Chris, he's the best basketball player ever if you add all 3 together, high school, college, and pros. But I think that it was the aloofness of Kareem and some of his stances that turned people off. And he's never, even jobs in the NBA, Chris, let's be honest, he's never fit in post-career, never gotten an opportunity to coach. You know, he was always on the outside looking in after his playing career.
No, those are all great points. And I think you're right on the money, too. Remember, he did want to coach in the NBA. And he just couldn't. I mean, this is, like you say, arguably the greatest player ever. And he couldn't get a look. Now, he ended up, you know, working with the Lakers, you know, maybe what, 10, 12 years ago, whatever that was, kind of working with their big men. But, you know, still never really got a chance. Certainly didn't come close to getting a chance to be a head coach, and never really, you know, got a chance to be much of an assistant either, besides that little bit of work he did with the Lakers. And I'm with you. There are people that will tell you Kareem, people that played against Kareem, people that played against Michael Jordan, people that played against, you know, players from the 70s to the through the 90s that will tell you Kareem is the greatest player of all time. Just for what you said, he was dominant in high school. Yep. He was dominant in college. And he was dominant in the NBA. Kareem has 6 championships.
He also has
6 MVPs, which is the most ever.
And also the leading scorer. He had a shot that was unstoppable.
The Skyhook's the greatest shot ever.
Ever. And Chris, this came in on Twitter. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he put out, after looking, sharing his thoughts, somebody asked him about sharing his thoughts about the ESPN bracket, and he put LMAO, laughing my butt off. And rightly so. But, yeah, Chris, when you go about and look at his accolades, it's ridiculous how good he was.
He got beat early in the bracket by Shaq. Now, with all due respect, if you want to argue, I think Kareem is the best big man ever. I think Kareem is the third best player of all time. I think it's Michael, LeBron, Kareem. If you want to argue, though, that Shaq was a better NBA player than Kareem, there's an argument to be made. I would argue against it, but there's certainly an argument to be made. That's not out of the realm of possibility. But to argue that Shaq was a better college player is absolutely asinine. And Shaq himself, I'm sure, would tell you that. Shaq, as a freshman, he played 3 years in college. As a freshman, Rob, he averaged 14 points and 12 rebounds, which is great, but he was the third leading scorer on his team. Third. He wasn't even the leading scorer among centers. Stanley Roberts averaged more points than Shaq as a rookie when they were both freshmen. Now, Shaq took off the next 2 years, but still, in his 3 years at LSU, even with the great Chris Jackson as his point guard his freshman year, Rob, Shaq never got past the second round of the NCAA tournament. The second round, and we're talking about Kareem going 88-2 and winning every, you know, championship that was available for him to win. I mean, it's not even close. And so and I'm sure a lot of the voters were younger. And heck, I don't discount the fact that maybe some of them didn't even know who Lou Alcindor was.
That's the other thing.
Honestly, they may have, you know what I mean?
I agree with that. And when they see that name, they're not sure that that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right.
And I think that is for a lot of guys. Jerry Hairston Jr., one of our buddies, you know, and a friend of the show.
Right.
He's a big basketball guy. And he even hit me up earlier, Chris, and said that his son, who's 14, he was saying that they don't know, they don't put those two together. So
right.
So that doesn't compute for a lot of people who know that Kareem and Lou Alcindor are the same person.
Right, right. So, yeah, I think they had no – Lou Alcindor, who's that?
Right.
And they put Shaq over
what
him.
A name that is. And it's Lou, L-E-W. I mean,
right.
Seriously, Lou
right.
Alcindor.
Yep. But here's how good Kareem was. And, Rob, you mentioned the sky hook. Here's how dominant that shot was. We're going to educate some of the millennials. Because the sky hook, you might want to talk about, I don't know, MJ's post-up turnaround fadeaway or Steph's three-pointer or – Harden's, or I don't know what you want to say is the best shot ever, but the only best shot ever is the sky hook, period. And here's how good it was, Rob. When Kareem, he won his last championship, and you know this well, he was 41 years old. 41! People are raving, and rightly so, about LeBron playing so well in his 17th year. At 35 years of age, Kareem was 41. He averaged 17 and a half points a game that year, shot like 55% from the floor. So he could have scored more. They just weren't going to him as much anymore because he was a
right.
little older. It wasn't like he faded. Most guys, their shooting percentage drops as they get older. You've seen it with LeBron, you saw it with Jordan. You didn't see it with Kareem till his very last year. But his last championship, he's 41 years old. He only averaged 13 points in that series when they beat Detroit. But you remember, Rob, when the Lakers absolutely needed a bucket, Who did they go to? They didn't go to Magic.
Kareem.
They didn't go to James Worthy. They didn't go to Byron Scott. They went to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at 41 years old.
But that
Think
how,
about
that's,
that.
But that's how much that shot was money, and you couldn't defend it. I always say the two things I never can figure out in the NBA, the two best shots have never been used again, and I don't understand it. The skyhook, all the big guys, not that there are many this now, Chris.
Right.
But back then, all those guys should have learned how to do the skyhook. All of them.
Yeah, I don't
and nobody
know.
Nobody right. could do it. And the other one is Rick Barry shooting underhanded, only for Chris, the really bad, the Chris Dudleys.
Right.
You know, like these guys who were terrible at the
Shaq.
Line. Shaq early on, especially. He was
Any
always
of the
bad.
Big men, Ben Wallace,
but
Dwight
all those
Howard,
guys,
of
none,
those guys.
None of those guys would be willing to do it, and it was
they didn't think Barry's looked manly. You know what I mean?
Right, but it went in.
Right, it went in. He was a great free throw shooter. Wilt tried it. Remember briefly, Wilt tried it, and
but that was
I think it actually helped Wilt, but he went away from it. The sky hook, because you know I was deep covering the league at that point. And I talked to guys about that. First, guys, this is ridiculous. Guys didn't think it looked like it wasn't a cool-looking move, which I actually thought it was a beautiful-looking shot.
It was a beautiful shot.
Right.
Whenever you see it in slow motion
yep.
and he take
yep.
that step, we used to imitate that, Chris, when we played as kids.
Oh, yeah. You probably saw the video I put up where I destroyed Mike Buckland. Shout out Mike Buckland. At FS1, played at Georgia, but was no match for me because I threw the sky hook on him.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Rob, there was a great story in The Athletic this week. And you know this as a writer. Sometimes you get the best stuff. Not really sometimes, most of the time, especially nowadays, you get the best stuff anonymously. You know, when you tell an executive, a GM, even a coach, even a player for that matter, that something, you know, you're going to use the quote, but you won't put their name to it. You won't attribute it. They give you better stuff. And it doesn't have to be, we don't even like it when it's ripping somebody, but it just may be, you know, addressing, you know, what a player still has left or doesn't have left. If a player is on the trading block or not. Things like that. And The Athletic did a story where they talked to league executives anonymously. And they talked about a handful of NFL topics. And you got some really good stuff. And one of the interesting topics they talked about, Rob, was Tom Brady. And what does he have left on, you know, for Tampa Bay? Is he going to make a difference there? And here's what one executive said, Rob. People who want to judge Tom based upon the results they got last year are way off base. Way off base. Virtually all of his physical skills are all there. People forget that Peyton Manning was very damaged physically at the end of his career. Injuries are going to be the critical factor that ends a quarterback's career who is doing well, and that will be true for Brady also. Anyone who was in Denver when Peyton got there will tell you about the impact a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback has coming to your team. The impact that has on the psychology just cannot be measured. Sounds like he's pro Brady and thinks Brady's going to have a big positive impact in Tampa, Rob. What are your thoughts on that?
Totally disagree. And the Peyton Manning thing, they didn't win because of Peyton Manning. And they could talk about all they want that Peyton Manning came in and changed the culture and all that stuff. It ain't true.
Wait, Rob. Remember, he was there 4 years.
No, I don't care. But I'm talking about won once. And the time that they won, he was no good, Chris.
Okay, but what about the first 3 years? He didn't change the culture?
Can I make my point?
You really want to go there? Okay.
Yeah, I do. But you could say that Manning put up numbers or whatever, but they didn't win anything. You know when they won? They won when the defense outplayed was so great. They won because of the defense, not because of that aging Manning who had lost his job during the regular season because he was so bad. Tom Brady's more in that boat as we go forward. It ain't going to be – if they have a defense like Denver have, then Tom Brady will win two Super Bowls if that's the case. They don't have that. So I'm not buying it that they could use what happened with Peyton Manning, because without that defense against Cam Newton, Peyton Manning would have gone to Denver, had 4 years, three really good ones, one bad one, and wouldn't have won anything. He would be a quarterback with one Super Bowl, and even his brother would have more than him. So I'm not going to sit here and say that because Manning went there, the reason that Denver won that Super Bowl was because of defense, period.
That is so off. Now, I'll give you, Manning, they won it in spite of Manning when they actually won the Super Bowl his last year. But to say he didn't change the culture, they had missed the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years before Manning got there. When they made it, they were 8-8. He gets there, and he takes an 8-8 team, and they go 13-3. Then they go 13-3 the next year, reach the Super Bowl, get blasted. You're talking about that defense. How'd that defense look then? The offense was horrible, too. I'll give you that. And then they were 12-4 his next 2 years. So I just think you're off in saying that he did not have an impact on that team.
No, I didn't say that. I said the culture.
I
said the culture.
You don't think he changed the culture?
That he had impact because he was a talented quarterback.
They missed the playoff 5 out of
6 years. But it ain't about – he didn't change any culture. They put a top quarterback of all time on a team. You're going to win games. Go look at the roster of quarterbacks they used to have.
Really? Does Aaron Rodgers
win all the time? No, I'm talking about
– I'm just saying, like, it's about culture, Rob.
No, it ain't. It's about playing and winning. It ain't about he went in there and rah-rah and all that. That is, I think that's overblown. He was a talented quarterback.
That is not overblown. A guy, his work ethic can change the culture.
What do you always say about Dak? He's a leader of men.
Yep.
He has the intangibles. Where were they last year when they were supposed to go to the Super Bowl? Dak had all that last year. What happened?
It had a bad year.
Okay, so that's my point.
The team had a bad year. But that doesn't mean you're not a great leader. That doesn't mean you lack the intangibles because 1 year you had a bad year.
But if you don't play well,
who hasn't had a bad year?
But if you don't play well, leadership doesn't matter, and that's my point. You could be the greatest leader.
How about both, Rob?
How about
a little nuance?
No.
How about both?
No.
You don't think leadership's important? Couldn't Peyton Manning have gone there and been a great quarterback physically, but also changed the culture with his intangibles?
No, Peyton Manning. Was in Indianapolis for 14 years. They won one Super Bowl. It was more
that
disappointment
means he didn't
than
have
anything.
A great career?
I'm just telling you.
Super Bowls. You don't say that when it comes to Aaron Rodgers.
No, I'm talking about the idea about the whole he changed the culture and intangibles. When they won was because they played well. When they didn't win, it's because they didn't play well. Stop with giving people credit. Oh, he walked into the locker room and everything changed. No, culture is important. But it ain't always the win and loss thing. There's been plenty of teams where guys hate each other and it's a bad culture, but they're just so good and they still are able to overcome and win.
That's true. But then there are plenty of teams where a guy does come in and things change immediately because of his work ethic, his presence, what he will and won't tolerate, how he talks to the guys, all types. You're going to deny that those things are important?
I'm just telling you that playing better is more important than leadership. Playing better is more important.
But every team's not like that. Some teams do need a good culture because they may not have as much talent. I mean, Miami, when LeBron was there, it's a reason he won two of his championships in Miami because the culture was set. I've even talked to people close to LeBron that are like, he didn't take some of the bad shots he took in Cleveland or even in L.A. that he took. He didn't take those in Miami because of the certain culture.
So I'm just saying,
I'm not saying it's always because they weren't good enough to win four, but they won two. I mean, you act like it's always black and white. Sometimes it's nuanced.
Well, but that's the way you always portray stuff when you talk about if if Mahomes takes less, then he'll have a chance to win a Super Bowl because he took less money. It doesn't always work out like that. You could have a bad GM who misspends the money on the wrong players. You could have that stuff. So that my point is, him taking less money doesn't guarantee he has a shot.
That's not even the topic.